key role in supporting the community. Now, what jumps out at me here, Seb, is, as a local business reaching out, a local business that has significant cultural impact in the community, reaching out and saying, look, if we're not helped, we're done. Like, it's game over. When I was working at Good Work recently, just next door, there was a cafe, Bobby's Table, that did Montreal smoked meat sandwiches. They've been there for 17 years. And then the next day, sorry, thank you for your business, but close. It was no warning, just game over. But these guys have said, not only we need help, they said, we need this much help. And if you're able to support us even more than that, these are the ways that we will do better. So they've detailed a 300,000 fundraising plan with a plan to really not just stave off the crisis of the moment, but to pivot and evolve and do better. Now, I always feel uncomfortable about just handing my money over to a private business. Just ask me how I feel about Galen Weston and Loblaws, and I will definitely tell you about that. But they've got a really detailed plan. They want to
They do.
hire a fundraiser for 10 months at about 30 grand. They're looking for 30 grand to subsidize their insurance, and then open up accessibility. Now, you've looked at some of their plan as well, Sebastian, and what jumps out to you?
Well, one of the ones, and this is just because I used to live in Toronto. One of the things that kind of jumped out at me as sort of a giggle moment was repair and improve the accessibility. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched, well, I know that you have watched Deep Space Nine, but I don't know if our listening audience has ever watched Deep Space Nine. But one of the things that kind of defines the Deep Space Nine space station is that every door has like a 1 foot clearance at the bottom, this threshold that throughout the series they joke they're surprised no one's tripped on it yet. That's like every doorway in Toronto, basically. There's this little threshold there that you have to step up or over to get in. It's not a foot, but it's a couple inches. And also a lot of the front doors on a lot of the storefronts are pretty narrow. So I just look at that. A lot of the places in Toronto, even if the inside is nice and open, just getting anyone with a mobility issue through the door can be a challenge sometimes. And that's not the funny part. The funny part is just when you look at the doors, all you can think is this was the entire city was clearly developed in the 50s and 60s when nobody cared about that kind of thing. So the idea of having to physically restructure the building so that everyone can get inside. I don't know. Most of Toronto needs that. It's a small thing, but yeah, no, the rest of it's just, a lot of it to do with attracting performers, attracting funds, attracting, just basically making them into a viable business that people want to go to. Basically, a lot of it has to do with just pivoting their business model, really.
What I appreciate, they give other things, can't donate to them, that's fine. Not everybody has the funds available, but maybe you come and get a drink after work, or maybe you write something nice about them as a testimonial, or maybe you donate certain products that you're not using anymore, and there's a good resale value on those that can help support it. Or maybe you can volunteer. And I love the fact that they specified plumbing, electrical, woodworking, because it is a business in the building. And if you're a plumber who wants to support the community and doesn't mind taking a look at a toilet at a historic gay bookstore, they are all ears for it. And yeah, I mean, I think what this really speaks to fundamentally is about asking for help. And I think that this is a good story. Not only that the community rallied within days to save them from eviction, the landlord, in all fairness, did say that if they were able to catch up on their 1 year of arrears, that their rate would be hopefully reduced moving forward. But yeah, I think that this really speaks to the support from the community at large, and it's pretty exciting stuff. We'll keep an eye on it and see how well they do in general, and hopefully other folks will be willing to step up and support them as well.
I also like the fact that they are looking at sort of updating their business model. People don't really buy physical books as much as they used to, and if they do, they may not go all the way downtown to a bookstore. They may just order it in online, and you could probably order it in through the Glad Day website, but still, it's not the first thing that comes to mind when people think about entertainment quite so much anymore. And the sort of community organizing part has been sort of taken over by things just like Meetup and other apps and basically the internet in general. So the idea of, give us money so that we can keep using the business model of 40 years ago, they are not doing that. They're not to update themselves for current year. And I really do appreciate that because we have seen struggling queer businesses. And part of the reason why they're struggling, you just look at them and it's like, well, yeah, you're using a business model from 30 years ago that just doesn't work in current year. And Glad Day is definitely looking at how can they update themselves to remain a financially viable small business without needing donations again in the future. And they are doing a long-term planning. And I think that that's definitely something worthy of praise.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be moving now to Manitoba and some drama that was unfolding in the legislature. So
Ooh.
they introduced a bill that would effectively mark May 31st as the Transgender and Two-Spirit Day in the legislature. It did pass. It was very exciting. It had unanimous support from the New Democrats and the majority of the Progressive Conservatives. But the Premier of Alberta, sorry, the Premier of Manitoba, Wab Kanu of the NDP, had less than polite things to say about the nine Conservative members of the Legislative Assembly there who voted against the bill. Essentially saying at one point, quote, they're not asking you to be gay, and then, quote, people are just asking you to recognize the existence, the dignity, and the human rights of people in this very chamber. So there is a trans backbencher in the Manitoba legislature, and nine Tory members voted against recognizing that particular day. Now, the media coverage of it, as they spoke with those members of parliament, of the provincial parliament after the fact, indicated that they took umbrage with some of the other language around youth being able to make decisions on their own identity and being able to kind of take some control of their lives. Of course, access to gender-affirming care has been a huge topic, and being able to self-identify was a major political point in the recent Manitoba election, where the Conservatives lost and Wab Kanu came in as the leader of the province. So the nine Tory MPs voted against it, but the party had a free vote. And I don't want to miss the fact that the vast majority of the Manitoba Conservative members of the Legislative Assembly did vote, along with the entire party of the NDP, in support of recognizing May 31st as the Two-Spirit and Trans Day.
Did they give reason why they chose May 31st and not some other day?
I don't have that information at the top of my fingertips.
Okay.
Fingertips. There we
I
go.
will say that a lot of conservatives, and there's different kinds of conservatives in Canada, but a lot of conservatives really don't care one way or the other about social issues. That's not why they're there. And fair enough, different people have different priorities, and in politics, you gotta choose a priority. But if you're the sort who's there and you really don't care one way or the other about social issues, it's really amazing how many times people forget that you can abstain. You can say, this has nothing to do with my platform. I officially abstain. And there have been many, many times where conservatives officially just abstain. And I don't know. I kind of prefer that to a degree where it's like, I don't care. I don't, that's not my platform. That's not my party. I don't care. I would almost rather see that. And I would almost respect that even more to just flat out say, like, this is not the kind of thing that I got into politics for. I don't know. I don't know.
All
Would you
right.
rather somebody abstain or vote against?
Well, that's true. We're going to be moving now to our first track, our second track of the day, and this is a modern reworking. The club scene DJ Absolute teamed up with Bronski Beat, For a new version of Small Town Boy. Now, Small Town Boy by Bronski Beat, which came out in the early 80s,
It's like 82, I think.
it has been, it's now 40 years. I believe it was actually 84, if this would be the 40th anniversary of it. Just
Well, fancy that.
who knew that that's how math works? But yeah, so 40 years ago, Bronski Beat put out Small Town Boy, and it had a really significant impact on gay culture in the UK, and it had a lot of international success out of that as well. But anyway, this is the modern remix of it as they celebrate the 40th anniversary of this particular track. And we will be back just after this. Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
Now, famously, the gays do love to get their steps in. And if anyone's about 600 meters worth of steps, you can now do so on what has been really sort of penciled in as the, we are yet to hear from the Guinness Book of Records, but the 600 meter, 2000 foot pride rainbow pavement. What's the word I'm looking for? It's a path.
Yeah,
it's a pathway.
Like a walking path, like a promenade.
Exactly, yes. So they've just unveiled what's been dubbed the longest rainbow in the world at 2,000 feet or about 600 meters. It is near Hanlon's Point in the Toronto Islands. On the Toronto Islands. Now, Hanlon's Point, for those who are not familiar, is an area on the beach by the Toronto Islands that has, you know, from as far back as the 1970s, if not even earlier, being the site of the first Pride Parade in Canada in 1971. People were in there as far back as the 1930s doing what we will just allude to as networking. It's a famously long time historical queer space in Toronto. And they now houses ostensibly the world's longest rainbow crosswalk. So anyone looking to get 600 meters worth of steps in on your way to or from Hanlon's Point can now do so with a very brightly colored floor beneath your feet. So that was happening. We are always excited to hear about action plans because you and me, Sebastian, are weird. So the Nova Scotia Office of Equity and Anti-Racism is looking at creating an action plan to address the 2S LGBTQIA plus community. So they had an anti-racism strategy that they worked on last year. They're pivoting now to working with the LGBT community, and they want to hear from folks in Nova Scotia. So if you are in Nova Scotia and have thoughts about what the province should do to improve access, accessibility, support, etc., or just to tell them what's happening in the province, now is the time to reach out.
I reckon they should let their mountains dark and dreary be. It's a sea shanty. Sorry, go on.
Oh, I see. Okay, that makes sense. We'll look at it. I do love reading action plans. It is one of the things that brings me joy. Now, Sebastian, someone who typically brings joy, but maybe didn't quite recently behind closed doors, was none other than the father of fathers, the Pope himself. What is the Pope saying or doing that's rankled and ruffled some feathers?
Well, so it was during one of the many conferences that the Catholicism will have all around the world. He was asked, L. Pop was asked about when they would allow openly gay men to serve within the priesthood so long as they agree to the vow of celibacy, which what they would be doing anyway. So it's basically, we already know there's a lot of gay members of the priesthood who go into the priesthood in order to resolve the conflict between how Catholicism doesn't really like the gays officially and celibacy kind of fixes that. And in response, and this was behind closed doors, but it was still something that was recorded and everybody in the room heard it. He basically said, nah, the priesthood already has enough. And then he used a slur. And everybody, you know, cue the gasp noise. And he's later on had to recant that and apologize and basically say not only was the spirit behind the comment was misguided, but the specific wording was completely inappropriate. He basically said, like, there's enough bundles of sticks in the priesthood already. But in Italian. And Catholicism, the world of Cathol has sort of been coming back to it being like that a bit far there, buddy. Which is kind of interesting because even though Catholicism does have its own, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin kind of approach, and but sometimes that goes into also hating the sinner, the sort of official inner circle within the Vatican kind of basically said that was a bit much.
Well,
when the Catholics say that's a bit much, you got something going on.
I think I'm going to turn the other cheek on this one, Sebastian.
Oh, okay.
Well, the reason being is this Pope, more than any other, of all of the popes, has done the most in terms of advocating, baseline, bare minimum, respect for gay people as being people.
Yes.
It seems ridiculous from our, ivory tower up in Canada, but in many parts of the world, the Pope has had to frequently remind Catholic bishops that even if they're gay, they're still people.
They're still people, When I read this story, I was a bit surprised that it came from this Pope, because you're right, this Pope has been pretty progressive as popes go so far. So it did kind of come off as a bit out of character for him. I don't know, maybe he was drunk on communal wine or something.
I don't think he was drunk on communion wine, but even last week there was a story where he had clarified in an interview with Western media that he believes that gay people should be blessed, but not the union of gay people that should be blessed.
Okay.
And, which is something that I think has been made pretty clear frequently, but it's always good to reiterate. Honestly, it was behind closed doors. It was a discussion amongst bishops. Their average age is 70 plus. And he apparently used a term that was, it is an anti-gay slur, but it was in Italian. I think it was just, and this is inexcusable, but what is the Vatican equivalent of locker room talk? You know what I mean? A cloister talk, maybe, but it was giving me the
communion wine talk.
You'll keep going to the communion wine. I don't think any of them were. I do not believe the Pope had any communion wine. But my point is, he was talking amongst a group of peers in an environment where, tongues slip.
Yeah,
and it was said.
He wasn't on the balcony of the Vatican addressing the masses. Like, it was behind closed doors, and that is definitely sort of a mitigating factor. Where the more I look at this, the more I'm like, it was a flub, it was a mix up, it was something he should not have done. But it was not an official
apologized for it. Now the apology is, we apologize. If you were insulted by the wording that you may have heard from this meeting that you should have heard anyway. And I'm like, well, that's, you need to maybe work on that apology just a smidge there, guys. Yeah. But broadly speaking, I don't, this has not changed my opinion, my very favorable opinion of the current Pope. And I hope that queer folks of faith are also standing behind him on this one. I did want to very quickly mention a report from the Fondation Jean Jaurès, out of France. They have been working with Mediapart, looking at the frequency within which gay men in France have been targeted for crimes. And apparently it has been really increasing. They now are seeing up to one victim a week where people are being lured and robbed using gay dating apps. Periodically, we mention this. Mm-hmm. We strongly encourage people being safer and letting people know where you're going. But what jumped out at me was that it wasn't the usual suspect in terms of Grindr being behind it, but it was apps like Plan SM and Coco.gg, which are designed to be very anonymous. They automatically delete the messages. It is really for individuals who maybe are not out, maybe individuals who don't want their identity revealed, etc. But they are being used in France with an astonishing rate. One a week is the rate of victimization at the moment for gay men being lured. But what was interesting was that when they spoke to some of the perpetrators that had been caught, they had their own sort of misogynistic code of honor, where robbery against a woman is just ungentlemanly.
Mm-hmm.
And robbery against a big burly straight man might lead to, you know,
danger. Fisticuffs. Yeah.
But a gay man, fair game. So, yeah, it is definitely leading to a bit of a, there's a cultural conversation happening in France right now as a result of this. So be safe out there, folks, and let people know where you're going if you are meeting a strange man on the internet.
Yes, that's pretty universal. It's good advice.
Just good advice. And yeah. All right. Well, on that bombshell, we're going to play out with our last track of the beat. This one is, it's an oldie, but it's a new cover of the oldie. This is Adam Lambert's You Make Me Feel Mighty Real, the Husco remix in particular with Sigala and Husco. I believe this was a Sylvester track originally.
Yes, Sylvester. So many crossroads in music history intersect at Sylvester. It's really fascinating. The Weather Girls, who sang It's Raining Men, used to be his backup singers. And then from there, there's a bunch of other... Sylvester is a very fascinating figure in music history.
All right. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Nick Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
When we're out there dancing on the floor, and I feel like I need some more. Feel your body close to mine. I know my love is about that time. Make me feel mighty real. Make me feel mighty real. Make me feel mighty real. Make me feel.
PFLAG Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Did you know that LGBT students hear anti-gay slurs an average of 26 times a day? One out of every four LGBT youth are told to leave home. LGBT youth are more likely to be homeless. 30% of suicides are LGBT. PFLAG is committed to anyone struggling with sexual orientation and gender identity issues. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.